Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Hey, everybody, and a Merry Christmas Eve to you guys. We're glad that you have joined us. We are here in Cornerstone Church with this Sunday Night Live show. And with that, I actually have Pastor Aaron Mercer here with me, and I have Kim and Gage Ansley, who are youth pastors. And I want to welcome you guys here tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yep. Good to be with you on Christmas Eve.
I tell you. Just to feel the Christmas spirit, you know, here at Cornerstone. That's one of the things I love is this show. You know, it's recorded at a Cornerstone church. But also, we have been going through a little bit different type of series for Christmas. And I was just wondering if you guys just kind of tell us a little bit about what's been going on at Cornerstone for the last month. Well, I guess I should say most of December.
Yeah, all of December. I'm gonna let Angela do most of the talking. But everybody knows the iconic movie, the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. We found a way to preach the gospel through that movie that everybody knows. Now, this is no sanction of any kind of movies. Just let the families make their own choices. But we took that movie. We preached the gospel however many ways you can preach it through that movie, and had lots of fun, exciting things happening through that series. And we ended up having 18 decisions for Christ throughout the throughout the series. And so it's been awesome.
Well, that's good. Cool. So first I have to know this. I know we got the call, and you know, hey, what do y'all think about this movie? But how did this actually come about? Whose idea was this anyway?
It was Kim's.
It was Kim's? Man, they didn't mind throwing you under the bus, did they?
Not really, but I'll take it. So we got together for lunch one day, it was lunch, and visiting about what Christmas looked like. And we had a great Christmas set lined up that was going to be really great. But for whatever reason, this go-round, it just didn't seem to fit what Cornerstone was in my mind and Gage and I at the time. And we just felt like Christmas Vacation was more like home to us. And so anyhow, we kind of threw that out laughingly. And if you know Aaron and Sonia, they laughed and said, yeah, that's awesome.
Let's do it.
And there we went. Yep, there we went, and so it began, and it has been a blast. Now, I will say, personally, that's one of our family's favorite movies at Christmas time. There's definitely some scenes in there that I'm sure people don't love and would not show your young kids, but anyhow, we love it, and so, anyway, it was good, it was fun, but Aaron is right 100%. I think he could take a horror movie and make a gospel message out of it. And so, as bad as we tried to butcher it up with crazy scenes and stuff outside, Aaron did an amazing job and brought the gospel in every time. And it was all focused around being led back to Jesus.
It was, and it kind of led into, after meeting at lunch and kind of brainstorming on the deal, Aaron had been thinking about, a movie, you know, Christmas at the movies, and it just kind of fell in line with that whole deal, and we were all on the same page, and Kim and I, of course, with the youth on it needs to be fun. I mean, there's no reason that church is not supposed to be fun. I mean, that is, you're, again, it needs to be just you need to be happy and enjoy and laughing. And that was a big draw that we had towards that, that, well, you know, everybody needs to enjoy it and have fun while you're at church, for sure.
Yeah.
So a little side note right here. You said Aaron could make turn the gospel into anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to him and I said, hey, what do you think about doing a haunted house? Because I was like, what do you think? You know, would that be bad? You know, what do you think? And the way we were talking about it, we were actually going to use it as a ministry tool is what we were going to do.
Yeah.
Needless to say, we never did follow through with that. Mm-hmm. We didn't do it because just things happen. But that's it, is you can present the gospel in whatever situation with whatever, you know what I mean, if whatever it's, whatever it takes to reach the people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think's happened in the church, and I'm not at all challenging anybody's theology or anything like that, but what I've seen happen is we're afraid of the world. Stay away from the world. Get out of the world. Don't be of the world. And there's some scriptures around that. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. That's all true, but here's what we need to know. What's on us is supposed to get on the world, not what's on the world getting on us, but what's on us can't get on the world if we never get over into their lane, so that they can see something different. They can see something, the gospel, the message of Christ, so they can see it from a different perspective. And that's why everybody loved to hear Jesus talk, is because he brought it to their perspective. They understood what he was talking about. And that's why they followed him. That's why they came to him. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to reach people for Jesus. It's our core values. Dave already said one. One of our core values is church should be, or church is, fun. Nothing is more fun than serving Jesus with the people that you love. So that's one of our core values. The other core value is we'll do anything outside of sin to reach people for Jesus. To reach people that no one is reaching, you have to do things that no one is doing. So that's what we try to do every opportunity we get. It's a funny story because my original series, I had played around with Christmas at the Movies, but last year I did one called It's a Wonderful Life, and I didn't show any clips, but I did part of it. And I played around with it. I said, well, and I had this nice traditional home for Christmas, traditional, everybody just an easy going up. But then Kim sent the clip, one of the clips of the National Lampoon Christmas Vacation, of the family arriving. Says, you should definitely play this clip at least. And then someone else, Gage or somebody, texts, well, let's just go all in with the National Lampoon, and boom, it was on. So we've had lots of fun with it, and got to answer lots of questions. And the most exciting thing is I've had people that didn't come to the series texting me, calling me, hey, tell me about this thing. So it's really gotten people talking. So that's exciting.
You know, one of the things that really stuck out to me that you said was, is we have to go to their world.
That's right.
So many times as a church, we can get stuck in that rut of we want the people to come to us. Mm-hmm. You want us, you know, you want to Jesus, you have to come to us and we'll show you. But that's not what it is. He says go out.
That's right.
To the world. And that's what it is.
Right? That's right.
We meet them right where they're at.
Absolutely. And, you know, why not answer some questions that people want the answers to, and get something out there so that they can see God is real and he can make a difference in your life right now. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
You know, and I think with Christmas Vacation, so many people can relate to it because you probably had a dad or an uncle or somebody in your life that had a lot of the similar characteristics or qualities. You know, everything is huge, go big or go home, and it always ends up like a flop, or I mean, it's just too much. It's just too much. That's all there is to it. But a lot of people relate to that, and then to see Aaron turn it and bring it to where, you know, it just gives people some freedom. Like, we're all in the same boat of maybe we do too much, or maybe we overdo it, or maybe we overplan it, or maybe we overbought last year, or we're not going to do it this year. But to get someone to bring it back, like, everybody's in the same boat, whether it's funny show or whether it's actual life, and to bring back the importance of it, and then Aaron to turn it around into just the gospel is so, so good. I mean, it's just relatable. You know, we see a clip that is just, like, ludicrous, and you think, oh, my gosh. And then Aaron starts speaking about something that you're like, you didn't even see in it. And it's so right. And it's so right on. It's just relatable to people. So
with that being said, Aaron, can you give us an example of a clip? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot here.
Sure.
But an example of, you know, you've got this movie of this family that's going through the holidays, and you know, how are you able to use that to bring the gospel into it?
You know, just for instance, it's like, let's just take family. Like, we've all got family coming to our house, and we're all, or we're maybe going to their house, and we've all got the Cousin Eddie in our family. We've all got that guy.
Yeah.
Every one of us have that guy.
Or and, you are that guy.
If you don't know who it is,
it's you.
So yeah. We've all got that guy, and we can make a decision to say, great, here comes Cousin Eddie, he's going to ruin Christmas, or here comes Cousin Eddie, let's give him a little extra grace, let's give him a little extra love, let's make a choice not to let him run our Christmas. Because if he runs for Christmas, it's my fault, not his. And so just all of those things. And the opening scene is road rage, because he's trying to get to his Christmas tree, and the guy comes and tailgates him, and that ticks him off. So he slams on the brakes, and there's this whole road rage. And what's funny is at the beginning, they're singing Christmas carols, you know, joy to the world. And next thing you know, we're cussing, and we have lost our mind because of this other guy on the highway.
Yeah.
Right? And how many, that's happened, right? We've all done that, right? Like, we're praying for the missionaries, and next thing you know, we're cussing the guy that don't know how to merge with traffic, you know, or whatever.
Right.
So we're all there. So listen, no matter where you are, no matter how dysfunctional you are, you're not as screwed up as Clark Griswold, and Jesus loves you, and he can pull you out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of the part of what we were talking about through all the whole series. You know?
Yeah, I love that. One of the first clips, and it could have been a little controversial, maybe some people thought, but one of the first clips, or the first week maybe, or that we showed, when Clark has cut down the tree, and then they go home, and anyhow, he comes out of the garage, and the garage comes up, and there he is with a chainsaw and like a hockey mask. A scary, what we know is Friday the 13th mask. But anyhow, and I remember Aaron showed that clip, and we weren't exact. I mean, we knew like some of the clips that were going to come up, but we didn't know exactly. And when that came up, I thought, man, where are we going to go? Where is he going to go? I'm sitting in the audience, but where is he going to go with this? And he tied it in as that is like 1 minute where this guy, which is the picture of Clark Griswold, all happy and excited and ready for Christmas, loving his family kind of thing. And then the next picture we flip to, and it is him in the hockey mask with the chainsaw. And he talked about that's how we are. Just 1 minute, we're this person and going to create the best, most memorable, amazing Christmas ever. And then the next minute, you lose your mind, and you're just like, it's all going to heck. And now I'm just standing there with a chainsaw and a hockey mask kind of, you know, thing. But he did so great about turning each of those clips into, it's, We relate because we're living it.
It is, and a big part of it is making it relatable. You know, everybody has a common ground, and looking back and with the stages that we changed and everything else and the processes of doing that, on how many people that it took, but everybody was relatable to what was going on. Mm-hmm. So I noticed a different amount of excitement or enthusiasm about being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get there's three grown men out in the pasture walking around looking for this perfect tree to put up on the stage, and it was like Clark Griswold. You get Dal Coy and I, and we see it, and it is almost
just
like a
light from heaven.
And so, you know, it takes the three of us to load this, and then not to count, we have 30 youth kids down here that are excited and having a part of putting a 16-foot tree in a 12-foot seabed.
And wait, hold that, because actually we drag it. I mean, and I know, Natalie, you didn't get to be here, but there was just youth and a couple of women that had agreed to come. Bless their soul. Anyhow, and so they start pulling this tree in the door, and when they get it here, they start to stand it up and decide it's not like going to squish over the ceiling like a couple of feet, which we were hoping, but it is absolutely not going to fit. So they take it back down, and I'm standing in the back in the foyer working with some other kids, and I'm looking forward, and Gage and some other men, and like 10 youth young men are there, and they're like, well, it's not going to fit. We're going to have to cut it off. And then you hear a chainsaw fire up in the auditorium.
We need a video.
We need a video. You cut off four extra foot from this tree.
Yeah. And again, it was the relatability of that. And honestly, the excitement and the joy that brought that, and Aaron brought it to Gil and I's attention, and of course, you miss that in the moment when you've got 17 teenage boys trying to work, not listen, you know, on that whole deal. But Aaron brought it to our attention. I'm like, see, that's fun. They might not remember all of it, but then 20 years from now, you're going to be like, remember when we had to carry that stupid big tree in the church? You know, on that, that yeah. plants that seed that is going to be, you know, later on, that seed was planted yeah. for the harvest later. And so.
And you know, I love that for two reasons. One, there are maybe some young kids that don't get to have crazy memories with a dad or, you know, grandparents or something like that at Christmas time, because so many of us, and we've been, Gage and I have been fortunate enough to have just ludicrous memories with our dads on overdoing Christmas, like in a crazy way. But some of these kids maybe have never had that, and so they got to, and then some of the kids have had it, but yet the second part that they'll get is, you got to do this at church. It's not right. just at home. And so either way, whether you've had it or you haven't, it's such a win-win, because we don't think about making these kind of memories at church with anybody, really, but especially not young people. And it was super cool to me when Aaron brought that to our attention. I was like, man, that's such good stuff. Even if this thing falls on its face and we get stoned, these kids had an amazing time doing something that is not normal for church.
Yeah. And those kids, when they were, it was packed out. They came every week to that series, and it was packed out with teenagers because it was theirs. They took part of it.
Yeah.
And that's what you, as a church leader and church leaders, we want young people, we want children to know you're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of today. And God wants to use you right now.
That's right.
And you could just see, they, just like Gage was saying, they took ownership of this series. And they're like, we are a part of this.
Yeah.
And it was so cool to watch that happen.
It was.
And you guys were talking about how they decorated the stage, but really, all the youth actually decorated the whole church. And it looked amazing. I mean, it looked like some women came in here and decorated these trees and put things out. And they really, you can tell they owned it.
Yeah.
They came in and we're going to make this look good. And they had, you know, they tried to do a good job in that.
They did. It was so fun that night. So it was a Wednesday night for youth, and big church wasn't meeting. So we brought about, I think, 45 to 50 youth down here and started to decorate. And we kind of divided them up in 10, you know, 10 here, 10 there. Anyway, and I was telling you about the two women that came and agreed to really just go behind us and, like, fluff things and detail things because, I mean, you know, we're working as well as we can, but, you know, detail and fluff may not be the perfect thing for you. But anyway, I remember one of them, we call her Juju, but it was Judy. And so I just threw her under the bus, but anyhow, she doesn't care. So Juju was here, and she was watching. She was just fluffing wreaths, and they were time bows. And she watched Gage and that crew bringing that tree, and I saw her just be like, oh my gosh, what are we doing? And then I had 14 young men in the, all men, young men in my group, decorating trees and hanging snowflakes, and that was just a crazy bomb. Anyhow, and so I went in there to check on them at some point. What could I do for them? And she said, this is Wednesday, and she said, we have to have church in this place on Sunday. And I mean, it looks like there was definitely no church going down, but even by Sunday. But, you know, when they were done, we just said, hey, y'all help us gather everything in this one spot, got things back in order. And I mean, it needed some cleaning, but we could easily have had church in there that night. And so the kids did so good. The young people did good. They made it happen, and it was awesome to see them do it.
Yeah, that you had said something about no stones, you know, and you did say that there had been controversy, you know, about the mass. Yeah. And with that being said, I actually spoke to a deputy in this area that doesn't go to our church, and was saying how cool it was that we had this guy out there with the band, because, you know, we moved it out on 83 over here. And he just thought that was the coolest thing ever, you know, that the church would do that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. That was good stuff. Side note on the things out by 83, you know, we looked for a station wagon. Our own Marianne McGinnis tried to find a station wagon forever and a day. to put a tree with a root ball on didn't happen. But anyhow, we decided the next best thing was the church van. So we put it on the church van, and we put the hockey mask guy next to him. Clark Griswold in a hockey mask. And so went good, I think, on 83. I think we scared a lot of people. We freaked a lot of people out. We called a lot of people in. Either way, it was catching some eyeballs.
And it was a progression. You had this stage event this time, but then the next week there was another stage event, and you changed the front, you know, outside as people came to church. It was something that changed. And so that to me was also a really neat thing that kind of went along with the movie as well. Of course, the part where the tree catches on fire, and then next thing I know is the Ansleys are burning this tree.
Yeah, we did. We did take it outside the church.
We like to keep it calm like that.
which is really just neat. You just didn't know. And I really believe there was a lot of people that came to Cornerstone. It was just so full that people that probably wouldn't come as often were coming. Yeah.
I think, too, with the progression of those things, I mean, whether it was outside or inside, I think that was really kind of cool for the fact that if you know some of the show, which most people do, you're just, I mean, like, I would have been like, I want to see what's up there next or what's happening next. And so it keeps you kind of interested enough to be like, oh, we got to go back and see what's happening.
And, you know, even when you guys were trying to gather the things for the stage, Sonia had said, hey, do you know anybody that has a chair that they don't want back because it's going to get burned? And I'm like, no, I don't. You know, and so I got on Facebook and I found some chairs, but then somebody came up with a chair. And so I was waiting. Are they going to burn it during the service? Is it going to be the next? I knew it was going to be burned, but I just didn't know when it was going to be burned.
Yes.
And then when Gage showed up dressed as Clark, I thought, oh, this might happen right here in the midst of service. With the cat and everything else.
Oh, yeah. It was so fun. It was fun doing it. It was just a good time. It really was. It was a good time. And selfishly, it was a great time for us, too. We involved our own kids a lot just outside of here, and so that was good to see them get excited and be a part and spend time doing it. And so it was good all the way around.
I probably thought it was pretty cool.
It was. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, you know, just churches, if any church leaders are listening tonight, you got to remember, we're going to take care of our stuff. We're going to take care of the buildings tonight. But your church is not about your building. It's about the people. So if things are not getting torn up at your church, you should probably check and see how things are going. Because, you know, we're supposed to be, everybody's like, they call the auditorium the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And it's the house of God. And I'm not coming against you, but no, it's not. The people are the sanctuary.
Amen.
The people are the house of God.
That's good.
And when you see things that get tore up, like we walked, Marianne was in the auditorium earlier, one of the reeves fell off the wall, and we were working all that stuff
going on.
And it's just, it's not about the building. And you know, you got chipped paint, and things go on, and things happen, but you know what? Life is happening.
Trees scratched
the roof. Trees are going all over the place, you know, we've got chainsaws live in the auditorium. That should be exciting.
Yeah.
When a pastor walks in and they see that sort of thing happen, they should be excited that that's happening, because what's going on? Life is happening. You know, and I was just teasing the other day, and I didn't even know whose it was, but I believe we were right there at Christmas, and we were right in the middle of worship, and I was singing, and I looked down, and there was a river of water or coffee running down toward the steps of the stage, and I thought, man, thank God. Somebody's in here. The coffee got kicked over. It's coming down toward the stage. Let the river flow. Because God's alive, and things are happening, and stuff's going on, and who gives a flip about the carpet? You know what I mean?
And I love that. You know, Aaron, and that's so Aaron, because, you know, we've talked about it before. We did a radio show on when we did camp here, and we hosted camp in our own building, and we had, what, I don't remember the number, over 100 kids or something in here for summer camp, 3 days, and, you know, obviously things got moved around and messy and messed up, and there were some things broken. And that was his thought. And I love it. It helps me because I can find myself easy teetering on, no, it's not okay. We have to make sure everything's taken care of and everything's done, you know, and left as good as it was when we got here. Well, there's no way I was going to leave this church as good as when we got here before 115 kids. I mean, there's no way. But, I mean, there was an expense with it, whether it was financially or, you know, somebody working to fix it. But the expense, I mean, it way outweighed that there was so many kids here and getting the Word of God and getting free and, you know, just knowing Jesus. And so the same with the Christmas. And I love that he reminds us all the time not to worry about that.
I think a church needs to be an extension of a home, and you want your home to be comfortable. You want it to be fun.
Yeah.
You want to... It's okay if you don't intentionally want to knock our coffee over, but it's okay if it does. I mean, we're using it. We're here to use it. We're here to live it. We're here to feel comfortable. We want somebody that is for them to feel comfortable that if they do knock their coffee over, it's okay. We're going to clean it up.
Okay.
I'm glad you're here. It's not a big deal. And so, again, I just go back to, it's like an extension of our home, or I want our home to be an extension of the church on, man, this is good. This is a good place. For good or bad, this is a good, safe place.
Yeah.
And, you know, with that comes the, you know, you've got your serious times, you've got your fun times, you've got ups and downs all the way around. And it sure needs to be an extension.
And
of that.
As soon as you said that, that makes me think, you know, for Gage and I, we wouldn't do anything in the church that we wouldn't do in our own home. And he has ran the chainsaw inside of my house. So, you know.
Oh, man.
We've lived pretty rustic in our homes from time to time with remodels and stuff. But anyhow, all joking aside, that's great to think that you want it to be like home here.
Well, to clarify, it was not coffee. And it was water.
And it was wine, okay?
Yeah.
So Aaron wasn't going to throw me under the bus. He was going to make it a secret. But I am up there singing on praise and worship. And even I'm like, who spilled those? Something on the carpet. I thought, oh, that's my cup. That's my cup.
Yeah, so a few days after we had our first Christmas service, I came into the auditorium for something I don't remember, and like the back two rows, which we hadn't cleaned the auditorium yet, but the back two rows, there was like three cookies lined up and crumbled cookies all around.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm so grateful because a few years back I'd have been like, oh my gosh, somebody didn't even pick up their cookies. They're all crumbled all over our chairs. But I came in, I'm like, well, some kids had fun here. We gave cookies out.
Yeah.
They ate cookies and I just picked them up and dusted them off and went on. And so, I do. I love that people feel good. I mean, they feel like they can live in it.
That's right. I want to go and talk a little bit about what you mentioned earlier, Aaron, is you said that you have to do something different.
Yeah.
And how did you word that? You basically were saying to get a different result, you have to do something different.
Yeah, it's one of the core values. It's one of our first core values. We'll do anything short of sin to reach someone for Jesus. To reach people no one is reaching, and you have to do things no one is doing. And so here's the thing. We're moving toward a lost generation of people who are far from God. And so say I would have made a series that said, and there's nothing wrong with these, please know I'm not attacking anyone. Maybe this would be a help to someone. If I do 4 weeks on how to know Jesus is the Messiah. Well, the general person from the world doesn't even know what the word Messiah means. Mm-hmm. We heard the testimony last Easter of a man who goes to our church who got saved at an event, not our event, another Christian event, and he had never heard that Easter was about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even know what Easter meant. He thought it had something to do with, you know, bunnies and eggs and all the things. He didn't even know that. So we're trying to reach a world who knows nothing. And you think, man, in the panhandle, everybody knows Jesus. Everybody knows what Christmas is all about. They don't. And if they have some general idea, they don't care. So we have to craft things so that they might care about it or might wonder about it or think it might be fun. Would God fall off the throne if we did something fun in church? No, I think heaven's going to be fun. Listen, honestly, if heaven... I went to church all my life, and church for me was like going to the dentist. I'd rather go anywhere than go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And they would talk and they would say things in the middle of the most boring service anybody could ever put together. Can't you wait until heaven so we can do this forever? And I'm like, I don't want to do this 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Much less for eternity. You know, and so that's why I never want to be a pastor. I want to stay with kids and youth. And I'm like, I never want to be that dude, man. I want to be this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I just thought, let's do something and be something that's different. Like every time I go to church, and I'm sure it wasn't every time, it was the enemy that puts that in my head, but it seemed like every time I went to church, well, we need volunteers. We need somebody to cut the grass. We're having a church work day. It's the pastor's anniversary. Everybody come. You know, and it always seemed like the church wanted something from me all the time.
Yes.
And so it's just always been my heart and the leaders that God brought us, it's their heart. We don't want anything from anybody. We want to give you something.
Mm-hmm.
We've got something to offer you that's going to change your life. I don't want anything from you. I'm not expecting anything from you. I'm just going to love you and show you Jesus. And if something comes up that's a little bit different, that might give you a different perspective on the gospel or Jesus, then we're willing to try it. We're willing to get out there and whatever it takes to reach someone for Jesus, we'll do it, man. And so that's sort of just been our driving force. And, you know, the first several years of being in the ministry, I was trying to be a pastor, and I wore a suit, and I wore a tie, and that's all wonderful, and nothing wrong with that. But that's not me. That's not how God's created me. And so Sonia, my wife, took me for my birthday, and I don't remember what birthday it was, to medieval times in Dallas. Okay, so I'm probably close to 40 at the time, 35, 37, somewhere in that neighborhood. We're in medieval times. We're all wearing paper crowns. We all have flags that's our color, and we're waving our flags, and everybody's going ballistic, rooting our knight on because we want our knight to win. And I look around, and it's all people my age. And it's just this revelation hit me, and I'm like, we're always kids.
Yeah.
We're always young people. Down in on the inside of us, we're always kids. And so that's why I always love youth ministry and kids ministry, because you think, okay, what's something fun I can do but tie Jesus into it?
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do here all the time. Now, do we do serious things? Of course we do. We're going to have a great candlelight service. It's going to be beautiful. We have beautiful music, and nobody's coming out in a hockey mask. You know, it's going to be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But we also mix it up with things like, what in the world? What are they thinking? What are they doing? Because we're trying to reach. And another thing is, I could set it home. If we miss church, I could set my watch. Oh, it's 11 o'clock. They're receiving the offering right now. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
11 o'clock. Or they're singing the third hymn right now. You know, whatever. And I thought, it'll never be that way. We want to craft something where people are like, you don't ever know what's going to happen in this place.
That's right.
You've done it well.
You know.
You never know.
And so that's the name of the game. I just want it to be different. I want it to be where, like, man, you better not miss church because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, and it's partly, you know, maybe I got ADD or whatever, but I'm just always wanting to mix things up, change things up. Let's do it different. Let's think about it differently. And that's what's great about having great folks around you that can help you. Like, yeah, that's it, man. Let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's how it goes. And so, I mean, if your service, and I'm just speaking to leaders to be a blessing, if your service hasn't changed at all in the last 15 years, pray. I mean, what's the difference? You know, you think about Jesus and how he worked things and how he talked and how he did. People never knew what would happen. That's why they'd follow him around. Somebody rips off a roof. He's preaching, and all of a sudden somebody's ripping the roof off. You know,
yeah.
And all these things are going on. All these things are happening. And so a leper is coming down off the mountain, and everybody runs away from him, and Jesus is talking to him and touching him. Why? Because Jesus knew, what's on him isn't going to get on me.
Yeah.
What's on me is going to get on him.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not afraid of the world at Cornerstone. We don't want the world to stay away from us. We want you. We're inviting you. And so, you know, and I'll just give a testimony. I don't think it'll hurt anybody's feelings because I'm friends with the guy. Listen, there was a fellow that came that I ministered to in the jail. Okay? And his whole face is tattooed. His entire face. I mean, there's nothing on his face that's not covered with tattoos. And he came to church. And all, you know, a good number of folks just blessed him and loved him and talked to him. And he told us, he said, I've never seen that happen. Usually if I walk in anywhere, not just church, but if I walk into a restaurant, people are like, whoa, what's up with this guy? And he said, man, you guys love me like none other. And, you know, he ended up leaving and going to another place. But that's what we're talking about. We want you. We're serious about reaching people for Jesus because he's your only hope. Yeah. And so that's why we get radical about doing it.
And speaking of testimonies, you actually had a testimony a week or two ago where someone didn't even know anything about our church, and they were scrolling on Facebook, and they happened to see the...
They saw one of the movie clips that they were scrolling through, and it was the movie clip, and you know, the heading of the Facebook, Cornerstone Church, live, here we are, and we're watching Christmas Vacation. He's like, what's happening here with this church? He clicks on that, watches the clip, stays for the rest of the message, and this message he sent to the church, he said, I've been on the road for a really long time, but I found your church and the series you were doing, and you got me back on the right road. I'm back with Jesus.
Wow.
And so that's enough. That's enough. If he was the only guy that found the service and got saved, that's why we do it. That's a whole reason.
Amazing. That's so cool.
You know.
Yeah. That's so cool. Actually, he's not the only one, though, because, so you all know, I'm at the barbershop every day, and I had somebody today, which I thought, man, God's so good. They've been walking through this series with us, not long-time comers of our church, but have started coming and walked through the series, just laughed, said they had the best time, and then ended up asking me, hey, so what do y'all do? Do y'all do something for special for Christmas Eve? And I'm like, yeah, man, we're going to have a Christmas Eve service, so I got to tell them that, and like, okay, we'll see y'all there, bringing a whole family, you know, and so it's you never know what one crazy thing will reach somebody.
Well, and to even say that, just this last week at work, I was around someone that goes to another church and says, now, isn't your church going to be doing something for Christmas Eve? Which they had thought it was going to be in the evening, and they wanted to know about it. And so, you know, I told them what we were doing, and I believe it's because of all the things, you know, from seeing everything that was going on through these series, you know, in that, you know, they knew that it was going to be a good service, you know, to come to that. And so that's what is to me is seeing unity in the churches.
Yeah.
Because it's not about the denomination.
Doesn't matter.
And it's about, you know, we're coming together with one goal, and that is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's the point. You do you and be who you are, but do it out of authentic love for people. Whatever. I mean, honestly, love people. And you know, here's the thing that people get wrong about what we do sometimes. They think that we do all this crazy stuff to fill up a church. And if a pastor doesn't tell you he gets excited when the room's full, or a youth pastor says he doesn't get excited when the building is full of youth, of course we do.
Yeah.
But we're not interested in filling a church. We're interested in building a kingdom. And so what we preach the gospel, we do all these crazy things, and we give all the things away, we spend the money that we spend, because we're building a kingdom. And if 18 people make decisions for Christ during the series and wind up in a different church, hallelujah.
Yeah, that's right.
We're glad. Just continue your journey with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what it's about, and that's where people get our heart wrong. We're just bribing people to come to church. Well, sort of. But it's not about our church. We're not bribing people to come to our church. We're giving people an opportunity, or you call it bribe. We're calling whatever it takes for somebody to get to the feet of Jesus and start their journey with him. That's what we're doing. And if we do all this and 10 people get added to a different church, praise God. We're excited. We're glad. You know, and we're going to preach the gospel every week. And wherever God wants to set them and put them, we're so pumped about that.
And so as we're talking about that, and I'm thinking about maybe there might be some pastors that are listening, and maybe attendance is low.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to figure out, what can I do to help bring people to the church so that they can present the gospel. So what would be your advice to them?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I do is if I'm looking for a new series, I get on Google and put, what do I do, and see what comes up. What did I do if I just lost my family member? What do I do if my marriage is in trouble? What do I do if, you know, whatever the problem is? And then I say, well, how can we answer these questions?
Yeah.
Because maybe I'm answering a question nobody wants to know about, right? And so that's one of the things that I do. And then, you know, ask yourself, what is your gift? What is it that you're good at? I was talking to a pastor in Pennsylvania that I got connected with in just a wild way. But anyway, he was down. He was down about how in his church they couldn't grow and things weren't happening. And with this conference we were at, there were all these cookies. Every time that we were at the workshop, there was this whole table of cookies. And I had made it my mission over the 3 days. I was going to try every flavor of cookie they had. They were amazing.
That's important.
They were incredible. And so we were talking, and about the third day of the conference, I was eating this salted caramel cookie, just like, dear God, these cookies are amazing. And this pastor, I said, well, who makes these cookies? Where is this bakery? Whatever. And the guy from Pennsylvania said, well, we brought those. We just put them in a big tote. We brought all those. Some ladies in our church make these cookies. That's their deal. And I said, dude, if I had these ladies in my church, everybody within 14 blocks of my church would get a plate of these cookies.
Yeah.
I would stop and say, I love you, and we're here in town. If you need us, we're going to be right here. We'd love to invite you to come to church, but even if you don't, we're here. We love you, and here's some cookies.
That's good.
And we eat these cookies every Sunday at my church.
Yeah.
And you know what? He added in the first year, he added 10 families. Just by going around, because he's good, and those guys are good cookies.
Uh-huh.
So whatever you're good at, take God and say, God, will you bless this? And man, I'll tell you right now, he will. If you'll say, God, I'm good at cookies, will you bless it? He'll bless it, and those cookies will be anointed, and it'll draw people to Jesus. Because you know what? You wrapped them in Jesus. You wrapped them in love.
Yeah.
And if you lift him up, whether it be with a cookie or some dude with a chainsaw and a hockey mask, if you lift him up, people will come. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Mm-hmm. Not all men into my church.
Mm-hmm.
I'll draw all men into me. And that's one of the things that if you could change your focus, I'm not trying to build my church. Jesus said, I will build a church. We're called to build a kingdom. So you go out, you preach the gospel with no strings attached. I just love you. I don't care where you go. I love you. And this is Jesus, and this is his invitation to you. And then you go out and build the kingdom. Jesus will pour on you, and he'll say, all right, since you're building the kingdom, I'll build the church. And that's out of your hands.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah. And so with that, I just feel led to just pray for all of our churches.
Absolutely.
That, you know, in our, all of them as a whole. And so would you be willing to
sure.
pray?
Sure. All right, Lord, I thank you so much for whoever may be listening to this message, whether they be a pastor or some leader or just an involved member. Lord, we're lifting up all churches, because here's the thing. If you're preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, him raised from the dead, you are on our team. And we're for you, and Lord, you're for them. And so, Lord, I pray for all these churches in this area that you've given us authority and you've given us influence. Draw men, women, boys, and girls to those churches, Lord. When people are driving by the road that church sits on, just draw them to that church and say, you need to get in there. You need to see what's happening in that building. And Lord, give the pastors and the leaders and the youth pastors and the kids ministers and all the things that are going on, give them, Lord, an anointing to reach people and to love people. And Lord, help us to just put the blinders on and not see the craziness and the messiness and the stinkiness of reaching sheep and drawing sheep, but we'll just wrap them in your love and in your grace and say, you know what? You have a home here. And Lord, I just pray for increase in all of the churches in this area. And Lord, I thank you that 2024 is going to be the greatest year of ministry for these churches. And if you're listening to it, just claim it. 2024 is going to be the greatest year of ministry for this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And so with this being Christmas Eve, you know, we talked about having next Sunday for New Year's Eve.
Right.
And so tell us a little bit about what you've got in store for your people for New Year's Eve.
We're not meeting at 10:30 in the morning. We're meeting at 10:30 at night. It's going to be a New Year's praise party. We're going to meet at about 10:30 in the evening. We're going to have a little mini party, just finger foods and fun. At 11 o'clock, we're coming into the worship service, and we are going to worship God. We're going to have communion, and we're just going to dedicate ourselves to God the first day of the year, bring in the new year, dedicating our church, dedicating our lives, dedicating our families to the Lord on New Year's Eve. That's what we're calling it, New Year's Eve praise party. We're excited about it. We're blessed.
I am so excited about it.
We're going to do that with the youth. We're going to meet at 8, maybe 8:30. I can't remember what I put out, but we're going to meet a couple hours early, have a youth party, and then all come down here for praise party. So, yeah, we're excited. It'll be great to ring in the new year with the people that are on fire for Jesus, ready to go.
What a better way than to go in worshiping the Lord and saying, here, I want to present, you know, my life to you for the rest of the year and show me what that is going to look like for us.
Yeah.
So, well, I got to tell you something funny. You know, I put my Christmas lights up a little bit late. I wasn't too motivated. And so I was doing it last week. And I was, I had one of the girls out there helping me, and I handed her this wad of lights, and I said, here, I want you to untangle these. And I immediately thought of Clark when he handed that wad of, and I thought, that's what, you know, Aaron had preached on that, you know, he had that wad of lights up there. And I thought, look, here I am. I'm living a Clark story right here. And she's like, oh, it's going to take 10 hours. And I said, oh, yeah. And then she's like, well, maybe not. And I said, okay, what do you think now? She said, 5 hours. So I just thought that was really funny. But with that being said, do you guys kind of have anything that you might have related to in that movie? Because really, it is. I mean, I probably could say several things, you know, that, you know, relate.
Yeah, oh, totally relate. And on a personal for Gage and I, about 3 years ago, we decided, oh, man, putting up a artificial tree or going and paying money, we're going to go make some memories with our family. So we went to the pasture about 3 years ago, and we drove around, and we even laughed, and we all were like, this is a Clark thing. All five of us, Gage and I and the three kids, we're in the Ranger, we're driving around, and, you know, we see the tree. And so we decide we're going to cut that tree down. It's the best tree ever. We throw it in the Ranger, we go to town, or go back to the house, and we put it in there, and it did not look like it looked like in the field. Anyhow, we thought nobody wanted to say anything to hurt anybody's feelings. We decorated it thinking that would help. On top of, it had the really pungent smell that we were worried about with the big tree. And now my allergies and my son who has allergies, I'm like, our eyes are swelling, noses are running. We decorate it. Nobody wants to say anything. And the next morning, we're all up, and we're at the table eating breakfast, and we're looking at that just hideous tree. And we literally were all like, Dad, you know, we don't want to hurt your feelings, but that is the ugliest tree ever. And so we ended up just chunking it out and put up our artificial tree. But that's our most recent that we could relate to with the tree and, you know, just overdoing it. That was probably a little overdone. And we've been guilty of that. We've been so guilty of going big or going home is a good thing. Not all the time. Sometimes,
right.
You know, it's like way too much. And we've been so guilty of that. Matter of fact, we almost did way too much in this series until we had something planned to go overboard. But the night before we were going to put it out, this is not going to be on week 3. The night before, I just felt like the Spirit said, "Lady, that is too much. You're being too extra here." And so, any rate, we battled back and forth like, "Oh, but man, it will be so amazing, Lord! It will just be hilarious." But anyhow, we decided to not be too much,
yeah.
And we took that idea away and put it in the trash and did something else. So, yeah, we relate to too much sometimes.
No, what a good advice that you're saying now. You know, these things seem like they're out of the box, but if you're listening to the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and you just do what He tells you to do,
yeah,
you're going to be, you know, you're going to reach people. You know,
yeah.
And so do it or don't do it, you know.
Right.
You know, and I think it's important, once again, going back to leaders, maybe this is a leader episode, give everybody a voice that's around you, that the people that God has put around you, give everybody a voice. They're there for a reason. You're not the only guy in the room that can hear God. So listen to the voices around you. I can't think of how many times, Natalie, your husband or you or Gage or Kim called me on the phone. We were going to do a summer event that I just thought was the greatest idea ever. And so we were getting ready to have it made up and do these t-shirts, do all these things. Gage calls me on the phone and says, man, I'm in favor of this. We're going to make everybody mad. And he begins to talk to me, and I said, you know what? We really are. This is a bad idea. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, but give everybody a voice. Yeah. Because if you give everybody a voice, you're less likely to wind up in a hole somewhere like, oh, dear Lord, how to get here? You know, God put leaders and people who know Jesus in your life for a reason. Listen to them. You know?
That's right.
Give them a voice.
That's right. Thank goodness for that.
Well, Aaron, I wanted to give you a chance. You know, going through this series, did anything kind of struck home with you watching this movie? And like I said, I just love the whole wadded up lie thing.
Because, that's so good.
You know, that's sometimes, most of the times, how we live our lives is like that. But I was just wondering if there
that's
was anything.
My thing. That's my thing. Because I've been following Jesus since I was 14 years old, and that's my deal. Just stay in the process. You know, you think you got a million problems. You got this major light ball, and it represents your life. Like, oh God, how are we ever going to get out of this? We ain't. Mm-hmm. You stay with Him, and He's going to get you through it. He's going to untangle it all, and as He untangles it, things fall off, things fall out. And pretty soon, you know, you're this beautiful strand of lights that's shining and things are going on. But until we get to heaven, we're always going to have that tangled up mess. Well, what do I do about it? Stay with Jesus.
That's right.
Stay with Him. And He will, one at a time, one moment at a time, one step at a time, one decision at a time, He'll deal with you. And as He talks to you, He's going to talk to you with love and grace and give you the ability to follow through with it. Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I love the story that I tell. I've told it a lot, but I was at the dollar store in town. I was walking up to the counter with 2 half gallons of Bluebell ice cream in my hands. I love Bluebell. I had a half a gallon of Dutch chocolate. I had a half a gallon of Butter Crunch, which is like a peanut butter, Butterfinger ice cream. I'm walking up to the counter. There's a lady checking out in front of me, and she's buying cigarettes. And she sees me behind her. She says, I'm sorry, Pastor. I know I need to quit these things. I shouldn't be smoking. And I held up my ice cream, and I said, hey, we all got our problems. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. We're in the process.
That's right?
We're going to stay with Jesus, and He's going to help us. You know what I mean? And so that's my deal. Just wherever you are in your life, stay with Him. Stay in the process. Don't throw in the towel. Keep walking with God. And at the end of the day, you're going to be right where you need to be.
That's right. That's right. That's good advice. So I'm sure that after our listeners have heard us talk about this series, they're going to want to listen to it or at least check this out.
Yeah.
So they can go to your Facebook page and find all these messages.
They can find all the messages on our Facebook wall. And we've got it set up where the most recent messages are the first ones on the page. So you'll just go to it's facebook.com/CCWTX, Cornerstone Church, Texas. So CCW, Cornerstone Church, Wheeler, TX, / from Facebook, and then click on videos. You'll see them all right there. And it's called Christmas at the Movies, and everything's right there. And you can go back and listen to them. I think it'd be a blessing to you.
Oh, yeah. And also, you can go to their website. Is it what, Cornerstone Wheeler?
Yeah, cornerstonewheeler.com. And then you can, it's all the podcast versions of the messages that you can listen to.
Yeah, audio only. Well, what a great way to, you know, love on people in the midst of chaotic Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, and here we are. It's Christmas Eve. And we're going to wake up in the morning and celebrate the birth of our Savior and, you know, just how blessed we are that God, you know, loved us just like we are in the midst of that, that He came and gave His life for us.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So that we didn't have to pay for that.
That's right.
So
I was listening to something this morning. I know everybody's probably heard it before, but it was such a good reminder to me when it was talking about, you know, that the Savior being born in a manger in a dirty place and, you know, people thinking that they've got to be a certain way before they come to church or before they come to God. And it was just such a great reminder that, you know, this guy suggested that's the reason I think one of the reasons God chose to come and be born into a manger, into a messy place. He's not afraid of our mess. And he knew if you come to him, it's going to be a messy place already. A shepherd would be in the messiest of places. And so you would just come as you are and come as a mess and come to him no matter what. And when you were saying that, you know, we get to celebrate the birth of our Savior, that's the picture that I get, like, just there in that manger, and that we are fortunate enough to get to just come as we are, come to the barn.
That's right. And just him. Adore him.
Yeah.
Oh, come, let us adore him. And that's really, I think, been my kind of my theme for myself at this season, is just adore him and what he's done. And so, with that being said, I think we're going to have to end this show with maybe a silent night.
Oh, gosh.
All right, Kim, I'm going to need you to start us out. And we'll close it. No, I'm just teasing.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I like your joke.
So I think that as we are closing out here, I'll just let you guys, do you have any final comments before we want to sign off and say goodbye to everybody?
Just when you get up tomorrow, just look around and say thank you. And know that God's got you handled. And don't worry about the rest of it. Don't worry about Cousin Eddie. You're going to have to deal with all day. Just be thankful. And say, thank you, Lord. I'm here. And you're here. And we're going to be okay.
That's right.
That's good. Yeah.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender.
Say Merry Christmas to you guys. We want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to thank you guys for being willing to come in and share just a little bit about the big things that, in my opinion, the big things that you guys are doing here at Cornerstone to reach the people. And we're just going to sign off and say good night. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a good night.
The preceding program has been recorded live and is presented by Tape Delay.